The following program, broadcast on more than 1,000 radio stations worldwide, is dedicated to the men and women of the Armed Forces Radio and Television Service, providing news, sports, entertainment, and information to millions of American service members in every far-flung corner of the world. Now, for the 4th of July, coming to you from the United States of America, by satellite around the world and throughout space, a three-hour message of freedom and eternal hope for the future. We proudly present... The Americans.
It was Friday, October 12th, 2 in the morning. Except for one, we were all asleep. And then, a shot. The shot was a signal. We were all awake now, straining to see. The sky was clear like daylight, brilliant, with moon and stars. And suddenly there it was, like a picture before our very eyes. There were 90 of us. We waited the entire night, staring, not moving, petrified. Afraid that after 10 weeks of searching, the land was an illusion, that it would vanish. But then, at first light, the people came. All at once, as if they just materialized on the shore. There was no fear. They were smiling, peaceful, and naked. In 14 days, we must leave. We are not far from China. This is Christopher Columbus reporting.
And that was the beginning. The voyage was planned with his brothers Bartholomew and Diego, a man of great physical and moral courage, suffering from arthritis and barely able to move. Christopher Columbus died without ever knowing what he had discovered or of the Americans who would follow at the age of 53.
Companies of British Redcoats set out from Boston last night to destroy arms and supplies on a farm in Concord. The Americans, however, were not surprised by the onslaught. Samuel Prescott, William Dawes, and Paul Revere had already spread word of the events.
In an effort to separate the colonies from Britain permanently today, a committee headed by Thomas Jefferson of Virginia has presented a document to the Second Continental Congress. In part, it reads, and we quote, "We hold these truths to be sacred and undeniable, that all men are created equal and independent," unquote. Two other members of the committee are seeking minor changes. They are John Adams of Massachusetts and Postmaster General Benjamin Franklin.
New York City is under attack. Although the British have in their fleet some 30 men of war and 25,000 men, the Americans, led by General Washington, have established a strong position on Brooklyn Heights, the northern tip of Manhattan Island, and to deter water passage, a huge chain is being forged that will be stretched across the Hudson River at West Point.
King George III has demanded that colonial troops lay down their arms. Surrounding Boston, the Americans responded by burning copies of the king's speech and raising their new flag. It has 13 alternating red and white stripes and a blue field in the upper left-hand corner. John Penn, a delegate to the Continental Congress, said today, "All regard for the king and his nation is gone. The people want total separation. Therefore, today, North Carolina becomes the first colony to declare its independence from Britain."
The Continental Congress began signing the Declaration of Independence today. With his large, sprawling signature, John Hancock was the first to sign. As president of the Congress and an outspoken enemy of the British crown, Mr. Hancock said,
"There, I guess King George will be able to read that."
The king has said that all signers are guilty of treason, noting that 56 are expected to sign. One of the delegates, Postmaster General Benjamin Franklin, added his feelings.
"Gentlemen, we must all hang together on this, for most assuredly we shall all hang separately." Oh.
12 of the 13 colonies voted to approve Thomas Jefferson's Declaration of Independence from Great Britain today. Only New York abstained. Now on, and as Jefferson writes, these United Colonies are free and independent states. They are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is totally dissolved.
In a final comment on the debate of the Declaration of Independence today, John Adams of Massachusetts said, and we quote, "This is the most memorable epoch in the history of America. I am well aware of the toil and blood and treasure
that it will cost us to maintain this declaration and support and defend these states. Yet through all the gloom, I can see the ravishing light and glory. I can see the end is more than worth all the means. This day will forever be celebrated in America."
You know what? I think whether we're liberal or conservative or whatever our political stand is, the one thing that happens to all of us when we hear the songs, when we remember the memories, even if we don't think about patriotism, there's that tingle, that feel when the Star Spangled Banner starts and you're at the ball game and you go, yeah. And even if you don't stand up and say, "I'm proud to be an American," you feel it.
"Gentlemen, this day ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. There should be pomp and parade. There should be shows and games. Sports of all kinds.
A left to the jaw, a right to the head, and Lewis measured him. Right to the body, a left up to the jaw, and Schmeling is down.
There should be guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other. From this time forward, forevermore."
And now, the Americans, presenting the 4th of July.
When the British first tried to bring a direct tax on the Americans, it brought the colonies to the edge of revolt. Over the next few years, and after hundreds of incidents, the intolerable acts of the crown, as they would come to be known, finally brought everything to a head. When the Americans realized the British government was totally corrupt and there was a conspiracy to take away their liberty, they organized and united in their first stand against tyranny. From there, momentum took over. Nothing would stop them. They would fight a 6-year war against all odds and the mightiest military power in the world. 5 years before the British would be beaten into surrender at Yorktown, the Americans gathered in Philadelphia, declared that a new nation had been born, and called it the United States of America. That was the beginning, the first 4th of July celebration.
Far, we've been traveling far. Without a home, but
4th of July, 1976. The Americans are celebrating their bicentennial.
Even after 200 years, the Constitution is still being debated. 2 days ago, the Supreme Court ruled that the death penalty is not cruel and unusual punishment and does not violate the Eighth Amendment. In New York, the only president ever to resign in disgrace has been disbarred. The president who pardoned him will lose his only presidential election.
And on this national holiday, celebrating 200 years of freedom forged in hardship and burden, tempered by the will for independence, from radios everywhere, the Americans are listening.
Say the more my work gets done.
presenting The Americans. And next, the 4th of July, 1965.
The Americans, a salute to the framers of American freedom.
The Americans.
The newspaper ad read, "Dentist will install teeth, ornamental and practical, for use in eating and speaking."
"I saw your ad, doctor, about those false teeth."
"They are carved to fit, sir."
The dentist's hair hangs down to the middle of his back. He wears an open shirt with a chain around his neck.
"Sir, you have your choice of sheep's molars or tusk of hippopotamus."
His career as a dentist will be short-lived, for soon he has a date with destiny. He is well known as a radical, a government hater, and tonight he meets with others in this secret room to plot the violent overthrow of those in power.
"Here, gentlemen, I've engraved silver chains for every one of you. Wear them under your shirts as a symbol for our cause."
What began as a small group has grown to a citywide underground organization, a mob with secret signs, words, and one common goal. The dentist and engraver might have been lost to history were it not for his expertise as a horseman.
On April 18, 1775, Paul Revere, radical, malcontent, son of liberty, set out on his immortal midnight ride.
"The British are coming!"
This famous ride was only 20 miles from Boston to Concord, and he never made it all the way. Paul Revere was captured and then released by the British without his horse. The 4th of July, 1965. The Americans are troubled.
The draft call has been doubled to 35,000 a month. And once again, the Americans are questioning their president. Some are burning their draft cards. In Independence, Missouri, a historic moment. President Johnson signs into law the Medicare bill, with the first president to recommend such a program looking on, 81-year-old Harry S. Truman. In Lewiston, Maine, the new heavyweight champion, Cassius Clay, stands over the floored Sonny Liston and yells, "I told you I had a surprise." Later, he would call it his anchor punch, so named because it anchors his opponent to the floor. And all over the world, this 4th of July, 1965, the Americans celebrate and listen.
I love to be in America, okay by me in America. Everything's free in America, for us more free in America. Automobiles in America, Romeo, steel in America. I like the city of San Juan. I know a boat you can get on. Everyone there will give the cheer. Everyone there will have mood. Yeah. I'll drive my Buick through San Juan. If there's a road you can drive on, I'll give my cousin a free ride. How you fit all of them inside? If my granny goes to America, many hellos in America. Nobody knows in America. Puerto Rico's in America. The shores of America, comfort is yours in America, knobs on the doors in America, walk to walk floors in America. I'd like to go back to San Juan. Why don't you shut up and get gone? I'll bring a TV to San Juan. If there's a current to turn on,
4th of July, 1965.
Well, when I see something like that, like, you know, the American flag or, you know, a big fireworks display, it's a time for celebration and a time to, and I think, God, it's great to be an American, you know? It's great to be an American. That type of thing.
In 10 days, Adlai Stevenson, ambassador to the United Nations, will suffer a heart attack and die on a London street. Bob Dylan is booed off a stage in Newport, Rhode Island for using electric instruments. And 100 miles above the earth, Edward White has become the first of the Americans to take a walk, untethered in space.
Americans. Next, the 4th of July, 1984. The Americans.
There should be shows, games, bells, bonfires, sports of all kinds, and illuminations from one end of this country to the other. This day shall forever be celebrated in America.
But that was after the Declaration of Independence was finished. Before it all began, no one believed the two men could accomplish anything together. On most issues, Thomas Jefferson and John Adams were as far apart as any two men could be. They disagreed on almost everything, except...
We must have a Declaration of Independence!
5 men worked on the project, but Adams and Jefferson were the leaders. Years later, they would battle each other publicly for all to see. John Adams, the conservative, against Thomas Jefferson, the liberal. Adams wins, becomes the second president of the United States. Jefferson is vice president. 4 years later, Jefferson becomes the 3rd president of the United States. John Adams is bitter in defeat. Unbelievably, later in life, the two will become friends. On its 50th anniversary, the creators of the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson in Virginia at 91, and John Adams in Massachusetts at 83, without knowing the other is ill, both die on the same day, on the 4th of July. A coincidence, or is it?
Well, I never at any point held it against the government of the United States that they weren't coming breaking the doors down. And indeed, to tell you the truth, I was glad they weren't, because if Delta Force had arrived and tried to break down the doors, I think those guys might very well have shot us. They were very, very nervous. But on the day that they came down there, they came about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And they said, "We have good news for you." And Terry Anderson said, "Like what?" And they said, "Today Mr. Waite and Mr. Sutherland will go home." It was just marvelous. We were just elated. We were on a Delta Airlines flight, in fact, with some State Department personnel. And the captain called back to us from his cockpit and said, "We're just now crossing the border." We came across the Canadian border, in fact, into the United States on the way toward Dallas. It was great celebration in the first class compartment because Delta flew us all first class there. Boy, that really was a great feeling, I want to tell you.
I'm coming home. Now I've got to know what is and isn't mine. If you receive my letter telling you I'd soon be free, then you'll know just what to do if you still want me. If you still want me.
James Mason, George Gallup, Count Basie, and Marvin Gaye have died. 21-year-old Vanessa Williams, after appearing nude in Penthouse magazine, gives up her Miss America title. And the barrier is broken. At the Democratic Convention, Walter Mondale has selected a member of Congress from Queens, New York, as his running mate. Geraldine Ferraro, a woman, will run for the vice presidency.
America! America! And the dream!
Of a country road on a wind it comes to call, and it sings in the farms and the factory towns, and where you think there'd be no song at all. And the words are the words that our fathers heard as they whistled down the years. And the name of the song is the name of the dream, and it's music to our ears. America, America, and the dream. Courthouse walls are the words that make us free. And the more we remember the way we began, the closer we get to the best we can be. Was there ever a time we forgot its worth, all the struggles and the scars? If we leave to the children a sky full of hope and a flag that's filled with stars. America, America, and the dream. It's a song we must recall. And it sings in the farms and the factory towns. And where do you think there'd be no song at all? And the words are the words that our fathers heard as they whistled down the years. And the name of the song is the name of the dream, and it's music to our ears. America, changing the songs the same as it sings from sea to sea. And as long as the music is strong and clear, we know that tomorrow will always be free.
America, America,
and the dream goes on.
America, America,
and the dream goes on.
America,
America,
Fourth of July, my dad used to always be the one who headed up the fireworks.
I always remember the 4th of July was the one time when you looked down the street, you knew everyone had their flags out.
Sparklers with my grandfather, who was getting on in years.
When I was a kid, I remember they had the parade every year. All the kids would ride on the fire trucks on the 4th of July.
It was at a state fair that was being held on the 4th of July. I was really young, probably about maybe six.
Well, you normally had all the kids that would be playing frisbee, croquet. We older adults would be out there with golf clubs. They'd be chipping balls around, and we had the horseshoes going. And
bocce ball. We play bocce 4th of July. We have tournaments on 4th of July.
Saturday morning, cereals, chapters 1 through 15. Fly paper, penny loafers, Lucky Strike green. Flat tops, soft pops, Studebaker, Pepsi, please. Ah, do you remember these?
Tons and tons of food.
Cigar bands on your hand, your daddy's socks roll down. Sticks, no plugs, and aviator caps with flaps that button down. Movie stars on Dixie cup tops and knickers to your knees. Ah, do you remember these: the hip parade, grape truade, the Sadie Hawkins dance, pedal pushers, ducktail hair, and big in your pants. Howdy doody, tutti frutti, the seam up the back of her hose. Ah, do you remember those? James Dean, he was keen, Sunday movies were taboo. The senior prom, Judy's mom, rock and roll was new. Cracker Jack Price, stars in your eyes, ask daddy for the keys. Ah, do you remember these? The boogeyman, lemonade standing, taking your tonsils out. Bend and burn, wait your turn, and four foul balls, you're out. Cigarette loads and secret codes and saving lucky stars. Can you remember back that far?
To boatneck shirts and fender skirts and crinoline petticoats. Mom's word and a dirty bird and a double root beer float. Moon hug caps and loud heel taps, and he's a real gone cat. Ah, do you remember that?
Dancing clothes, little moron jokes, and cooties in her hair. Captain Midnight, Ovaltine, and the whip at the county fair. Charles Atlas course, Roy Rogers' horse, and only the shadow knows. Ah, do you remember those?
Gable's charm, frog in your arm, loud mufflers, pitching woo. Going steady, Veronica and Betty, white bucks and blue suede shoes. Knock, knock jokes. Dewey.
Dewey who? Dewey, remember these? Yes, we do. Ah, do we remember these?
My family is just a good all-American Polish family. And when everyone got together, there better be a lot of food for them.
The Americans. Next, the 4th of July, 1972. The Americans.
Our friend Dr. William Baines has embarrassed the entire Navy. Capture him, bring him aboard this ship, and throw him in the brig.
The charge was not serious, but it was awkward. With the help of townsfolk, Dr. Baines had thrown a small number of servicemen in jail for disturbing the peace. Now Dr. Baines was in the brig.
Colonel Skinner, select the best lawyer you know. Go to that ship, free Dr. Baines, and get him back here.
Yes, Mr. President.
On orders of the President of the United States, Colonel Skinner and the lawyer pleaded the case, and Dr. Baines was freed. But there was a delay. The ship was about to take part in a major attack on the city, and the Americans would have to wait until it was over in hopes that enough of their city would be left to return to. The hostilities lasted well into the night. The Americans retired, all except for the lawyer, who paced the deck watching the destruction in agony.
These people are vulgar and ignorant. Will it never end?
It was September 14, 1814. Baltimore was under attack as the lawyer, 33-year-old Francis Scott Key, stood on the deck and wrote,
"Oh, say."
Seventeen days ago, when they were discovered on the sixth floor of the office complex, the five men were all well-dressed and wearing gloves. Police records show that they were in possession of walkie-talkies, cameras, and electronic surveillance equipment. The men have been charged with breaking and entering into the Watergate complex in Washington, D.C.
The Americans. 4th of July, 1972.
4th of July has always been a special day to me. I think probably because I lost my father in World War II, and Flag Day and 4th of July come rather closely together. My dad happened to die on Flag Day, and so we put the flag up on Flag Day, and it always stayed there till the 4th of July at my house. And so I look at that with somewhat mixed emotions. Obviously, my father died in World War II to preserve freedom, the freedom that you and I both enjoy today. And you look at the flag not only through that particular haze, but I guess with the respect that all of us have and have relearned, perhaps, it's simply a very meaningful symbol to me as an individual, and I suspect to anyone who's ever had anybody in their family in the United States service uniform. I don't know. It's a very important day. I look at it not as the birthday of America. I look at it as part of my being as an American. It's just part of me. It's always been part of me. Always will be. I still have the coffin or the flag that was on my dad's. I never even got to know him. You know, he died.
I wish I was in the land of cotton. Old times are not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland.
Singing, fellas.
Oh, I wish I was in Dixie, away.
Dixieland, I was born. Early Lord, one frosty morn. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Glory, glory.
Days ago, at 4 a.m. in the skies somewhere over the northwest, a man identified only as D.B. Cooper, holding $500,000 in ransom, has bailed out of an American Airlines plane. No one has seen him since.
The airline now becomes the first to set up a security station, inspecting everyone's baggage before boarding. In New York, Broadway Joe Namath has signed a record contract with the Jets, $200,000 a year. The average income of the rest of the Americans, $10,200.
You're listening to The Americans.